Centralization of media is a threat to our democracy.
Right.
Except 100 news channels were saying
worldwide.
We're saying that around
well, it's
the country.
Kind of like they accuse you of what they're doing. You know,
they tell you exactly what they're doing. It's the old reverse psychology trick.
Right. Stop hitting yourself.
Right. Everything one side is doing. Do the opposite.
Right.
You know, I mean, with the vaccines, and I hate to go back to it, but before the election, what did every one of the people in power say? I will not take it if it's a Trump vaccine. We're not going to take it. Every single one of them said we won't take it, and I think they're still not taking it, and they're taking something else. Mm-hmm. But they said they wouldn't take it, and now, full circle, it's now become Trump's vaccine. Trump's vaccine is doing this, even though it was Fauci. Way before Trump was in.
Oh, God, I hope that guy just, you know, as soon as he gets, you know,
they should put him in solitary confinement. Get him out of here. No, put him in a cell.
I saw a fantastic editorial cartoon with a tiny little Fauci guy and all these giant monsters and missiles with and dead vaccines and problems just tidal waving in front of him. And he says, well, look at all this junk behind me. My work here is finished.
Mm. Exactly.
So, all right. Well, I think that's enough for the so-called vaccine idea. Thank you, everybody. This is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. This show runs every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And now we've got 1 hour remaining. And here, I'd like to open it up first to your subjects that you might want to talk about. But then I'm going to talk about how people have been conned through the media and how you can acknowledge or be aware of it. However, now that I'm saying that, I think maybe perhaps it's pointless for the audience because maybe the people listening to this already know. But there's a very apropos clip from an old Disney movie that will show my point, so I'll get to that in a few minutes.
The snake one,
yes. Mm-hmm. The Jungle Book. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so what did you guys want to talk about? I know you mentioned things last week about bugs and also about electric cars in California.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're talking about you know, the media using their slogans and whatnot, and I remember Trudeau, you know, talked about the Great Reset, you know, in one of his speeches. And it seems like, you know, a lot of the international community are all kind of talking about the same thing in terms of, like, the environment, cutting down carbon, not using gasoline. And I think, you know, what California is trying to pass kind of plays into that. And I think we got to push back against it, even though, like, we're going to get vilified for it. You know, they're going to call us
bad people.
They're going to say that we're, like, against the environment. And that reminds me of, there was this, I don't remember what company it was, but, like, he was doing, like, a conference call to his employees, and this is not to go back to the vaccines again, but he was saying, like, you know, we all got to work together and fight this virus. And he said, you have to make, and this was a direct quote, you have to make a choice. You have to, it's either you're on the side of humanity and you take this vaccine, or you're against humanity. This was some CEO of some, I forget what company it was. And he was given a talk. It was like a conference call to his employees. And it's like, it's funny because that's exactly the opposite of what it is.
Yes.
Hmm. You know, it's like conforming to this and grabbing the pitchforks and torches and hunting everybody down who didn't take your, you know, your voodoo injection. That's the anti-human people. You know, those are the people who are anti-individualist, anti-free choice. And you're trying to say, he's trying to, like, pat them on the back and saying, no, you're the good guys. It's good to go down and break these windows of these businesses. It's good to go down and, you know, burn your neighbor's house down. And
right.
it's a joke.
That's
it's
because they're doing, they're telling you what they're doing, and they're doing exactly the opposite.
Exactly.
And a lot of people don't get that. I mean, I've had that argument numerous times with a bunch of young college, you know, progressives.
Yeah, sure.
It's like, explain to me how burning down a minority-owned business is helping them in any way.
Right.
They don't get insurance. They still haven't been paid. Portland is gone.
DC is
still... Everybody who had that... Boston was pretty much left alone. I mean,
yes,
they locked down Newbury Street.
Too.
But also, Boston people... Even the most... even the stereotypical down-on-their-luck minority person of color, or even white person, mm-hmm. we still have it pretty damn good. Right. You know, so wrecking Newbury Street doesn't do anything for anybody. Right. And they didn't go anywhere other than downtown Boston.
Right.
I went to one in Franklin Park. Nothing was ruined there. Why? Because the majority of the people marching lived in those neighborhoods.
Right. Well, why do you think that is? You think it's because the people are better educated here? Or do you think it's because people weren't getting bussed in from other parts of the
Both, exactly. Okay. But also, Boston has a history of racial strife already.
For sure.
You know? And they don't want to be known for that. We've been trying since the 70s to get rid of that. Mm-hmm. Oh, Boston is the most racist city in the country. And it might be, but you wouldn't know it if you came from somewhere else, because we pretty much get along. And that's an old thing. That's my generation. I rode through South Boston and had kids yelling racial epithets at me when I was going to college. Mm-hmm. And when I went to knock on the door to one of these parents because, hey, your kid's yelling at me. She said, you better get off my lawn. And this was in the 80s. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but now what about what you were talking about how this CEO is telling people to
if you don't get the vaccine, you're anti-human, is what basically he said. Which is funny, because I think it's the opposite of that.
Yes, and now, and we know that from history that when somebody tells you either you're with me or you're against me,
mission accomplished.
That is
yeah, George Bush.
That is the person that you have to worry about, because black and white is not how the world exists.
Mm-hmm. But that's how they want you to. That's exactly it. If you're a Trump person, then you're automatically a racist, a sexist, xenophobe. Whatever other thing they can call you, but when it comes to someone like me, they can't really say half of those things. You know, you're a sexist. How can I possibly be a sexist if I'm a woman? You know, or how can you say that? But they don't have any other argument, because it's so easy. Because if you call someone a sexist, even if they're not, actually racist is the best one,
right?
Because I've been called that, which cracks me up, and I'm like, you're right. And you know who I'm racist towards? Other people that. Actually, I'm not even going to try and say that, because I can't get away with it. But basically, they're saying it, but it's usually a white person telling me I'm a racist.
Well, for me, you know, obviously, I'm a waspy-looking guy.
Pasty-looking.
Pasty? Okay. I knew a guy whose nickname was Pasty. He was extremely pasty. I really don't see the point in talking about racism.
There isn't one.
Because it's being perpetrated by one side.
Yeah.
The more you talk about it, the more there exists a division. You're increasing the division. So instead, just don't talk about it. Yes, of course it exists somewhere. But guess what? It doesn't exist here and now in the way you're talking. It doesn't exist in your mind as a regular, everyday basis, unless you're a psychopath.
Whoa.
And then it doesn't exist in, you know, most modern society situations. So if you just pretend that it doesn't exist, it won't exist.
Yeah, well, I mean... I know what you're going to say.
But you have to accept that it does exist, and then when it does happen...
I know what you're going to say.
Smack that thing!
Yeah, so...
Yeah, but you can't really say that.
I get what you're saying.
Based on your... I can't say that, right?
And there's some other words I can't say that are not.
You should say anything you want, and that's the.
Ten years ago, I think you're right. Race relations are pretty healthy, but now it's almost starting to tip.
I don't think so.
Nope. No.
And you know why? Because the epitome of our race relations in the U.S. is when Obama got elected.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
And up until that point, everything was going up to the, and he was the pinnacle.
The nadir.
Yeah, and that was it. As soon as he got reelected. That was when it was.
Right.
That's when it was the high point.
Right.
And it hasn't gotten down. The only thing that's gone up is the fact that a certain segment of the population realizes that as soon as he got elected the second time, they needed to figure out something else to keep the pot boiling.
Yeah.
You know, and it couldn't be climate. It couldn't be. They were running out of things.
Sure.
And the only majority of the people that are claiming racism now are mostly white people. When you say that Larry Elder is the black face of white supremacy coming from white people, or that the white guy got rid of Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben, and Mrs. Butterworth was a white millennial.
Yeah,
and they're the ones who are doing it, even in the school systems. Yeah. You know, it's white administrators.
Yep.
It's white people in Wisconsin, white teacher that want to fire white tenured teachers in the school system so that before the black ones.
That brings up what I was going to say is I think you do have to speak up about racism when you start seeing discrimination, and right now we're seeing a reemergence of segregation. You know, people are saying, "Yeah, there's schools in."
But that's initiated by black,
exactly.
The coddled American mind thinking that microaggressions.
Right.
Harvard had a separate black graduation.
Right. Exactly. So Harvard had a black graduation because it needed to better accommodate its African American students,
and they're the most privileged. It's ridiculous. Right.
And then there are schools that have like black spaces, like black only dorms, and
and that's because they're a coddled group that sees that everything. If you were a race that think that racism is everywhere, I had a conversation with my friend of mine years ago, and this one black artist in the artist section of Boston kept saying, "Well, they're discriminating me against me. They're doing this, they're doing that, they're doing that." And I have even relatives of mine saying that they couldn't get this because they're being discriminated against, even though it wasn't because they just didn't have the qualifications required to get certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And when white friends offered to help because they had more experience, they were offended.
Sure.
That I'm going to help you out. Well, you don't have to do that because I can do it. That's ego. Has nothing to do with race. And my mother-in-law, I love her to death. I've known her for 30. My husband and I just celebrated our 30th anniversary. And she basically said that it's not class. It's not color. I mean, it's not. It goes class first, color second, and culture third.
And
because
what
seeing any arena, you have to look at the cult.
Are you saying in terms of like what creates differences?
Or what the divisions are.
The division.
Because
okay, sure.
I belong to a bunch of different groups, right?
Okay, so you said the real divisions in life are class first, then race.
Culture.
Color.
Okay.
Class first, then culture, then color. Okay, well, that makes sense.
And you can mix them up, but class is the biggest one now. Because Beyonce can go to Cuba,
right,
and not see any of the results of communism, and then come home and say, no, we should do universal basic income, we should do all this. And this is celebrities pushing a certain idea, but they're not in that group suffering. I know plenty of people went, when they opened up Cuba, they all went, and they were all better, financially much better off than the people that they went to
visit. So real quick,
I
have a question for you then. Are you aware of this thing that's been going around on the internet a little bit about the talk that supposedly...
Yes.
Now, do you think that's a race-specific thing, or do you think...
Well, considering we're all the same race.
Wait, I don't know anything about that. What does this mean?
Okay, so
I reserve judgment.
Why don't you let a brown person tell
you? I reserve judgment to cancel the talk to talk about it.
Okay, the talk in most urban most urban settings is that at a certain time, especially if you have black boys, right, you have to sit them down and go and tell them basically, which is more common sense than anything else, and you could tell this to any kid.
Right.
If you're driving and you get pulled over, hands at 10 and 2, say yes, sir, no, sir. Basically obey the laws. If you're an inner city kid, your single mom will sit you down. I'm not being a stereotype, but that seems to be the case. They sit you down and go, if you're in a situation where you're confronted by a cop, or you're confronted by even a drug dealer too, and that's the extension of the talk. If you're confronted by anyone who has power over you, you defer.
Right.
Yeah.
Or get away, if at all possible. Put your head down, say yes, no, whatever, and you'll be better off. Specifically aimed towards black men.
So that's the talk.
Happen in white culture. Doesn't happen.
No, I was going to say, I had that talk when I was 7 years old.
Yeah, I had that talk when
Why would you
I
have
was,
it when you were seven?
I don't know. My dad was like, oh, if you're waving around your toy gun, do what the cops say, no sudden movements.
That's pretty sad.
I distinctly remember this when I was seven because I had my water gun or something.
That's insane.
And he was like, "Hey, by the way,
I'm sad by
if
that.
If the cops ever, you know, say something, he's like, you know, take them seriously, you know."
Was that around the time that black kid got shot in the Walmart?
I don't think so. No, it wasn't.
You know,
no.
The way you describe it, I don't think it's a racial thing because I had that impressed upon me as the respect for the police, mainly because my dad was in the Navy when he was young, and then he was a very authoritarian type guy. So that's why I resist authority to this day. Get into my head, why don't you?
You don't love your dad?
Of course I do. But
I hate him too.
But I, yes, of course, there's love.
Okay,
and
well, the talk was basically that.
But everybody gets that talk to some
brothers,
degree. But
And my brothers had it eons ago.
Yep.
But it was also about personal responsibility, working hard. It wasn't just about racial or whatever the current social thing was.
Right.
But we were also raised where you respected everybody.
Yes.
You look both ways crossing the street.
Yep.
You respect your old people. You respect your mailman, your teacher, and the cop. And that has deteriorated because now you are the younger generations. Your generation specifically is you are raised basically to think you are God. Not you just generally, but the people throwing stuff in. People protesting BLM. The
sure,
white kids
sure.
protesting BLM. Mm-hmm. They are somehow more... I don't even know what the word is. They're
all right. I want to wrap up this race talk. I just think
it's not
it's pointless.
Race. We're all the same race. Please
exactly.
try to get that. We're all the same race.
Exactly.
I mean, I do think it's
Everyone's
important, though, because I do think it's a big initiator for a lot of these social movements, though. You know, I think...
But I think that it's
I love
a... The reason, all right, this is the reason I don't want to talk about it, because I think it's a distraction from real things that matter in a stronger way. Things like financial things that are going to be pushed onto you, the state of your education and your ability to function as an individual with clear thought and rational reasoning. That's more important than any, momentary Whoa. Kind of...
But it all starts... That's the base of it, though. Education is the base of it.
Yes.
If you are told from the time you are in school now, mm-hmm. which is happening, yeah. that you are, if you have dark skin, right. that you are a victim, by the time you graduate high school and then go on to college, you don't have any of the stuff that's going to make a difference in the other things. Mm-hmm. If you are told that you are never yeah. going to get... past a certain point,
yeah.
even though there are examples all around you. Right. Look at LeBron James. He's a gazillionaire. Mm-hmm. Look at Tyler Perry. He's a gazillionaire. Look at any successful black individual or even any woman or anybody that's in a group that you are not part
yeah.
of and they're successful. But if it starts at education and goes from that's 12 years of you basically being told that
yeah.
you are death
yeah.
less than or you're this or you're that. So if you get out, and the same thing with the trans thing.
Yep.
If you're a tomboy,
I was a tomboy.
Yeah. If I was a tomboy going to school
and
now, I'd probably be a boy by the time
I
graduated.
I get it.
All right. Are we done with the race?
No, I have one big thing that ties into that, and I think because we're talking about young children, right? That kind of ties into the LGBT stuff.
How?
Because think about this: you're a 6-year-old, okay, and you go to school, and you're a white 6-year-old. And all your teachers ever say you are bad, you are like to blame for all these problems, you're a terrible person, you've oppressed everyone else that isn't white.
I see, that's a good point.
You
yeah.
start to feel bad about yourself. They've imprinted upon you original sin, right? They've imprinted upon you a faith-based ideological thing. They said you are born evil, and they're like, but you have 100 gender identities to choose from. And now all of a sudden you can be an oppressed minority.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is pick one of these and all of a sudden you're born again.
Mm-hmm.
You're born again and now you have a new identity, you have new pronouns, and now you're a good person. You're no longer bad. You no longer have that original sin anymore. You've been absolved of that sin.
Right.
And you've given in a gender identity. And that's why you see this rise of alternate genders in the younger generation. I think something like 20% of the kids 18 and younger identify as
gender nonconforming.
Yeah, gender nonconforming
trans,
or gay,
or this, or
bi.
Cats,
yeah.
Right.
It's something high, and it's where it used to be like 2% or 5% 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's like bulimia and anorexia in the 80s.
It's a social. It's a socially.
It makes me feel like a victim after I eat a big meal or whatever.
Right. So that's fascinating. I haven't heard it said like that before. Equating it to original sin.
Right.
Well, that's how a religion controls people from the beginning, by
mm-hmm.
telling you you've always been a sinner, so you have to come to us and pay us every week to get rid of that sin.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe when you die, you won't be sinned anymore.
And sometimes it is quite literal, where you have like a Black Lives Matter activist say, hey, we need a little bit of something, and you'll be a good person if you do that.
Yeah, and that's how they duped all
the
CEOs.
That's how the churches did it.
Right, yeah, progressive. Yeah. But at least when you're in church, if you eat, say you're Catholic, I was raised Catholic.
Sure.
You after 18 or throughout your career, throughout your life, even if that's your base, you can choose to go in different. That's why there's Protestant, there's Episcopalian,
Methodist,
all these other things.
Yeah.
You can choose, or you can choose not to go. When we were 18 or 16, we were given the choice: do you want to go to church anymore? No. Mm-hmm. Okay, you don't have to go. But that base is already there. But when it comes to indoctrinating children, they don't have that base because it's eroded. Even if your parents, your parents are the enemy now. Right. Don't tell your parents. Don't tell this. Don't tell that. Tell them. We'll get, you can change your name. And, and when you're 9, if you want to be a boy and you're a girl, don't tell your parents.
Wait, so this is interesting. So you're equating the previous archaic and degraded form of control, religion, specifically Judeo-Christian religion, with a new type of control of people being free to choose their gender identity, right? So this new freedom of gender identity is another form of control instead of religion.
How
is that control if you're giving someone freedom to choose?
You're not. You've
demoralized them, essentially.
You're breaking them down, just like you said before. It's like if you have that year in and year out.
And, and also, you're the only path to absolution.
Salvation, right?
So you have to accept our, you know, church of the a million pronouns.
Right.
And once you, and the pronoun thing's kind of funny too, because like they kind of, they trick you because they say you want to be a good person, right? You want to be empathetic. You want to use the correct pronouns, right? And whereas a pronoun has never been a sign of respect. It's been a, sign of like mapping the world.
Well, I think pronouns are silly to talk about because it's long term.
If you change, it's about language, and so when you change the language, you're changing how someone thinks. And so that, so if you don't have a word to express a thing,
you can't have a conversation about it.
You can't express how you feel. So if I get rid of the word for totalitarian dictatorship, I'm going to have a lot harder of a time to explain what a totalitarian dictatorship is
vaccine,
when I see it.
Or herd immunity, so, or recession.
So how, what does that have to do with the
So the pronoun, is it's like if I, this is a person who, under normal circumstances, I would say, you know, this is like a guy or something.
It would be a he.
And then they're like, no, no, call me Zer now. Now I'm like, oh, well, that is not as accurate, and it's not to the point as what, how I had intended my speech to be, and now it's giving your brain an extra step to process.
And if you argue about it, they get offended because you're not respecting my choices. I'm supposed to support your fantasy, your lie, so that you feel better and I feel worse. And that means you're a bad person if you don't respect my Z. For some reason, I'm even worse because I'm not. Yeah, and that messes up the whole conversation. You can't. And if you give this to a child, just like Catholicism, the teacher is now the priest. You can be anything you want because we have to get rid of your toxic masculinity because you want to use guns and trucks.
But
if you want to be accepted in the next several years that you're going to be with us, you have to push down whatever that biological motivation is for you to point your finger like this. I've never seen a girl do this, and I've been in childcare for 30 years. I've never seen a girl do this, ever.
She's pointing it like a gun and as a finger.
But anyway, so if I'm your authority, and I tell you you need to put that finger down and pick up a pick up a doll. Eventually, you're gonna. It's like the thing we were talking about before, the psychological. You keep 180 days to change a behavior? Or 18 months?
18 months.
Think about 7 years.
Now, to some degree, I agree that, you know, that it's confusing to have different pronouns. I think it's kind of silly because nature is, it's natural to be he or she. It's not natural to be something else.
Not if you're on the other side, though.
But there are, throughout history, there have always been people who have some combination of
intersex.
Man and woman.
And
there's, and even Native Americans understand that there are male souls in female bodies and vice versa. So that is what gay is. And
No, and that's not what gay is.
Well, maybe.
All right. Well, I'm just saying conceptually. Conceptually.
Possibly.
There's nothing I'm saying that is precise and right. I'm just like trying to express myself in the weakest possible way that I can. But at the same time, from you said it, the pronouns remove precision. I would argue that they increase precision because now you are precisely knowing exactly what fundamental part of the gender supposed It's
right,
but you're not, because each of them choose. Right, so but there isn't a definition for Z that is universal.
Or if I say, you know, call me.
No universal definition for Z. Or
correct. There isn't.
So that's what makes it difficult. Okay. Because,
or if I say, you know, call me Xylon of the High Plane or whatever, it's like,
But tomorrow you're somebody different.
Exactly.
Because there isn't a base. When you get to the intersectionality, or when you get to kids specifically, they need a base. I'm very correct. Boyish. Yeah. Well, but from that, I can do different things.
Yes. Now, wait. To what degree is this actually happening in the world?
100%.
And it's to what degree is it being filtered through a media landscape that wants to perpetuate conflict?
It's very
gay story. I mean, trans story.
Oh, yeah, trans story.
That's it. It's everywhere.
But it doesn't happen all.
Well,
the
it
time.
Happens in the grade level, I think, and it's working its way up to high school, I think.
I don't think it'll ever make it to high school because they don't care about high school. Yeah. Anything below ninth grade and below is what they're trying.
Right, I think a lot of it is just over exposure to small incidents.
Pockets throughout the country.
And just blowing it up to such an intense degree by NPR and
MSNBC.
Yeah, but
it starts little.
Yeah, they're going out of their way.
Remember that line. They start here, and then before you know it, it'll be there, and then it'll be there, and then you'll be looking at it.
And they're going out of their way to hire teachers that are going to do this.
I don't know if they are. It seems to me that it's maybe more of a propaganda effort to make people upset, to make you guys upset.
No, it's about indoctrinating the kids, I think.
Are you sure? Because
I'm pretty sure.
It seems that maybe that, because what you just said, is also part
of the creation.
Well,
because why are they going through the step-by-step, you know, religious...
They're trying to get rid of religion.
Exactly. And they're going to replace it.
Attendance is down and replace it with this.
Replace
why?
It with gender,
because
ideology.
People, all those people that are floating right now, for lack of a better word, the BLM, any protester, Antifa, they don't have a church.
Right.
Because their parents didn't give them a base. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be part of a group. The best group, and you can see them have a uniform. The trans people have multicolored hair and are relatively unattractive.
Right.
The Antifa people have their outfit.
They're black blocks. Yeah,
right.
Okay, I understand all of that, but I think you're being too specific about it. From my point of view,
flying the gay flag over embassies and stuff. You know, it's almost like they want to get rid of the symbolism of the American flag entirely.
And they forget that if it wasn't for the red, white, and blue, they wouldn't have the rainbow.
Right.
Put them next to each other, because the U.S. was one of the first countries to legalize gay marriage.
Right.
Yes.
Right?
Well, of course, and put them next to each other if you're caring about symbols.
But they are, because the flag, I mean, I told you this before. There's a gay flag in front of my father-in-law's church. It used to be gay, and it used to be the American flag and the gay flag. Mm-hmm. So when you walk by and you don't see the American flag, but you see the gay flag and you're straight, are you going in there? Probably not.
Mm. I really don't think it's that intense.
Yes, it is.
I think that's over exaggeration about how intense this is.
Symbols are very strong.
Yeah.
If you see a gay flag and you're straight, you're going to think twice about going in that store.
No, you're not.
You will.
You just notice that they are accepting of this
And the American flag isn't?
Right. Well, American flag to some people connotes a very rigid set of ideological
circumstances. Which is a bunch of hokum. Because if it wasn't for that flag, they wouldn't be able to open their mouths. And they keep forgetting that. Like that woman,
I know.
The one who's in Russia right now.
But if the gay flag,
the basketball player.
If the gay flag means everything you think it means, then from someone's, from other point of view, then the American flag means everything that they think it means, which is that rigid ideological position, which maybe you think is what the gay flag means.
I'm telling you, if as a straight older person, if you see a gay flag, you're going to think twice about going in that store.
And I'm telling you, no, that is not what I think. I do not think twice about it.
Well, regardless
that's you.
If I have to go to the store, I go to the store. It doesn't matter if it's got a communist flag in front of it.
Really?
So in fact, if it was a communist store, I might go into it.
Okay, what about
a
Nazi flag?
Just for curiosity's sake.
That would not exist.
If
I looked at it, soon after that, it would not exist.
Okay. Oh, I see.
But these things are...
I thought symbols weren't important, though.
Exactly. But are they important or aren't they?
They are.
They are.
But you can... All right. That's good. That's very interesting.
You would ruin a building with someone who has a freedom of expression if it had a Nazi symbolism but not a gay flag. That's an interesting
And also note that the other side, you know, will do the same if they see, like, an American flag.
Right.
Yeah.
Or if they're anti-gay, if they saw the gay flag.
Well, the FBI the FBI classified the 13-star Betsy Ross flag as a hate symbol or a terror symbol.
Yes. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Who knows?
I have one. I have a 13-star flag.
It's an old-fashioned one.
It's an old revolution.
Right. It's the original.
We live in Boston. It's everywhere.
Right. Exactly.
Not anymore.
And the FBI classified it as a sign of radicalism.
Right.
Well, it's the degree to which you impress these meanings of the symbols, you know? Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm aware of the history of the Nazis, so of course you rip that thing down and shred it to a million pieces.
But why? If freedom of expression and they have it in their store.
Because I disagree with it.
Yeah, but that doesn't justify you ruining somebody's business.
I think it's illegal, right? Let's not treat like that a Nazi flag is okay. It's not. Let's treat something else that's maybe possibly not okay.
I'm trying to work my way
down
the
south.
Right. And no, you do. No, you definitely do.
They're all terrible.
I saw one.
No, they're not.
Those two are.
No, they're not. I have plenty of family down south. They get their race relations, for lack of a better word, they get along better with each other down there than they do up here, because they've been at it longer. And they've come to it. They're racist down there, just like they're racist up here. The only difference is the racists up here aren't blatant in your face. I don't mind going down to Alabama or Tennessee or any of those places, and somebody goes, "I don't want you in my house," or "I don't want you." I'm like, "Thank you very much for telling me." Versus walking into, I met with a woman I just met, a new friend. Uh-huh. I've met her three times. Mm-hmm. She has not invited me into her house yet. And that's in Winchester.
Yeah.
That reminds me of it's the similar thing to masks. And and vaccines, but I think we're beyond. No, okay. I have to say now that it's 7:30. We've got half an hour left in the show. This is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. This show is every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And this week, this August, we're doing it live in the studio, and it's practice basically is what we're doing. All right, this has been intense and very interesting. Now, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
wait a minute,
Mark. You, Mark. I don't even know where. I haven't talked to somebody before who is so strong about the flags, and I want to continue to explore it. But I think I've explored it enough. All right. Oh, here's one. How about Ukraine? Does that rate?
I mean, that was just the media cycle.
90% of the people in this country don't even know where Ukraine is.
But what does the flag mean?
Yes, that's
mean
a symbol.
You?
If you look on Twitter, it means a lot of my money is going to a corrupt nation that has nothing to do with me, and we should be supporting our borders, not theirs.
But that flag is everywhere on people's bumpers.
Yeah, because it's a virtue
houses.
Signal. No
it's
different than the mask.
Exactly. I agree. It's
no
a virtue
than the difference than the BLM
signal.
Thing on the lawn.
Exactly.
Do you? And I've actually asked people, do you know where Ukraine is? I looked it up because I was curious.
Mm.
It's a teeny tiny little speck the size of Maryland.
It's
Ukraine?
Pretty big.
Yes.
It's one of the bigger countries of Europe.
Ukraine is much larger than Maryland.
Yeah, but Ukraine is, but look at Russia.
The Crimean Peninsula is small, maybe. Yes.
But still, it's the UK should be worrying more than we should be.
Yes. Well, okay. So you said that the Ukraine flag is a performative symbol.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
Could not also the gay trans rights flag and the American flag be performative symbols in the same way?
They all are
in a sense. But I think with the gay flag, I think a lot of businesses put them up in fear of getting like their businesses smashed in. You know,
what?
Even though that doesn't really make a difference because
I remember.
Right, the guy that put the bunch of white kids in a BLM in a BMW, and I think this was wasn't in Chicago. It was I think maybe
out west,
Wisconsin or something like that.
Yeah,
but the BLM people were marching, and they had a BLM sign on their BMW, and they still kicked it. They still crashed the place.
Oh,
trash the car. Why? Because the white kids were like, "No, we're part of your team," you know. And they're like, "No,
it's not uncommon in L.A. and Seattle for people to fly put the gay flag in their shop to try to get like protesters not to smash their windows in."
And it doesn't necessarily.
It doesn't always work. It can though.
It's like slapping the blood over the lamb or fast
it is,
over.
Yeah.
I mean, in the doorway. Yeah. It's exactly what it is. Or like the guy, the couple that when they went to BLM in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
walk through the gated community, and that woman that was holding their gun like his lip.
All right,
and the
I don't
other.
Know anything about that. All right, well, let's move on from this race stuff because I really, it's so boring to me.
Okay, no. No,
that's a very interesting. Yeah, but your position is such that that's why people keep. That's why you get crap.
Because I'm privileged,
it's so
right?
Boring.
So
no, we're all privileged. No, it's all American privilege.
Think,
no, I'm privileged
too.
I probably was more privileged than you are.
All right,
I've got American privilege.
Why do I get crap?
Because
you say it's boring and it diminishes those people that actually. It's no different than the Me Too people saying, you say it's boring, even though my truth is that I was raped or I was this or I was that.
It diminishes the actual effect.
Yes, it diminishes the people that actually are.
Yes.
Have been victims of it.
Well,
I don't know if I've been a victim of racism
sure.
because I've always gotten my job.
But
let's
also, the stuff you want to talk about is very high concept.
Yes, it
and
is.
And not many people might have enough information to relate to that.
Oh.
Whereas.
How do you figure? Racism is pretty damn
base.
No.
I'm not talking about racism.
Right.
I'm
the other stuff.
I'm talking about
like
the big policy
right,
and the world
the
economic
stuff about
forum.
The crystals totally
but,
lost me with the microns.
Right, exactly. But if I, you know, if we're talking about race or something and it's like, hey, I was eyed at a shop when that wasn't fair to me. That's something
followed around in Neiman Marcus.
Exactly. That's something people can relate to. And I think more people can relate to that. So it's almost like let's say, I'll make a parallel to, like, the Ukraine. You want to talk about the broad concept of Russia and Ukraine, but other people are like, oh, well, I care about the starving children. That's what the difference is. So, not everyone is going to care about the broader strategic level thinking. They're going to care about how does this impact the everyday lives of the citizens. So I think that...
But also American people who are supporting this, it's like, there are starving children in this country.
Well, for sure.
Wake up.
For sure.
You know, and that's the problem that I have with people who have the Ukraine flag. Why? Because they're so ready to be... Right, or people, I'm going, during the Peace Corps, people are going, oh, I'm going to Africa to feed the poor black people. Why? Because poor black people are too, have it much better than poor black people
right.
in
okay, yeah, well, yeah, we should move on, but I think it was a good conversation.
Yes, I understand that point. I minimize the effect that it's had on someone's life, and I have to be aware of that. So, All right, good. So we had already, this is about toxic masculinity, and then that's kind of related to what we were just saying,
yes.
And then bio state. Well, these things I didn't get to, the control of individual bodies from the bio control state.
I think I have something to say about that.
And then how the emotionally insecure and those running on emotion instead of their mind or body have been conned by the TV co-opting every person's fear. Oh, that's an interesting... Okay. Well, what did you want to say about...
Well, it's kind of like to go a little bit to the vaccines, but also to about a manipulation.
I still did want to get to the Jungle Book and say how
we can learn how
to do that. All right.
How to control the population or how to...
No, these are also high concept things, but this is the full on fable effect. I think it was something that I had kind of thought of doing, and it's a very again, maybe at this point people are already aware of it, but for people who don't know how they're being manipulated by media and by other people, you can look to a classic Disney movie called The Jungle Book that came out in the 60s. It's the story of a little baby Tarzan boy who lives in the jungle with the animals, and he can talk to them, and it's not usually available, I don't think, anymore, but I found a clip on the internet, and because it reminded me, I had heard a PSA on another station, way down at the bottom of the dial here, and it was a PSA that ended, do not trust any non-approved sources. Only trust mainstream news from the UNESCO World System. And I was like, well, that sounds like a classic manipulation strategy. Only trust what I am telling you. And I remember that song, Trust in Me. Trust in Me, sang the snake to the baby. And here we are in the jungle. The snake is approaching the kid. This is in the Jungle Book. His name is Ka, the snake.
Yes, man cub. So nice to see you again.
Oh, go away. Leave me alone.
So the cub, the boy, is telling the evil snake to leave him alone. He doesn't want to talk to him.
Let me look at you.
Let me look at you.
Why don't you just let her play?
Because I want to describe each little part. The snake is asking him to look at, let him look at him because he's got hypnotic eyes. His eyes turn into spirals and he's trying to hypnotize the boy. And he just looks at him for a second. But the boy's smart, and he looks away. And the snake says, "You don't want me to."
Just play the clip.
Okay. He'll figure it out.
Now,
no, sir.
Just play it.
I know what you're trying to do, cop.
Just play.
You do.
Yep. Just play it.
I mean, you don't trust me.
No.
Then there's nothing I can do to help.
You want to help me?
Certainly. I can see to it that you never have to leave this jungle.
Never.
How could you do that?
Oh, I have my own subtle little ways. But first, you must trust me.
I don't trust anyone anymore.
I don't blame you. I'm not like those so-called fair-weather friends of yours. You can believe in me. Trust in me.
Now the snake's eyes are hypnotizing the young boy, and just the boy's eyes are hypnotized just like that.
Shut your eyes. Trust
He's sleepwalking
in me.
Off of the tree.
Hold still, please.
The snake
you can
caught him.
Sleep safe and sound.
He's basically sleepwalking down the snake's tail.
Knowing am around.
The snake is holding him up in the air, upside down.
Slip into silent slumber.
Now he's sleeping on the snake.
Sail on a silver mist. Slowly and surely your senses will cease to resist.
The hypnotized kid is upside down on the snake's tail and sleeping.
You're snoring.
Sorry.
Now he's apologizing to the snake. The snake is so sure of himself, he's curled around the boy and held him tight.
Trust in me.
And he's saved by the tiger at this point. But so we see the snake hypnotizing the boy. He falls asleep. He is under the snake's spell. The snake can do whatever he wants, and he is completely confident in his ability of complete control of this boy. Guess what? That boy is you when you watch TV. That boy is you when you listen to mainstream news and when you don't think for yourself and you just suck everything that comes out of that TV pipe. That's who you are. You are that boy. Because the snake is constantly after you. He's constantly getting after you. And there's almost no escape unless you turn off the TV and you don't look at the snake. You just don't look at it. You just don't look at the snake.
Explain how we didn't look at the snake.
You mean why are the three of us not under the snake spell?
A majority of other people.
Well, to what degree are we not under the snake spell? I mean, we grew up under the snake spell, so there's always the possibility that it can return. But it takes constant effort to be avoid it. But first of all, you don't watch TV. Second of all, you understand that you can look at any other viewpoints and sources of news, and you have to know how to evaluate each one of them and if they are being manipulative or not. So the way that this relates is that that snake relates to that UNESCO PSA. Now I want to play that because that is going to be that's the whole point of playing this here. Let's see if this will come out. Now UNESCO. Oh.
When you are scrolling through your newsfeed and you read a message about the coronavirus, think about how it makes you feel. Does it make you feel angry, sad, or shocked?
Yes, yes, yes.
Disinformation can be spread through the use of emotion-targeted content.
Exactly.
Before sharing or reacting to such content, try to think of where it comes from, who might benefit from it, and who might be hurt from it.
Now, all of that seems relatively reasonable, right?
Yep. Right.
Yep.
Relatively straightforward. You're like, oh, okay, this is trustworthy information that I can trust from this source.
Think before clicking. Think before sharing.
Right.
During the COVID-19 outbreak, only trust official information sources and credible media outlets. Credible.
See, now we turn. That last phrase is only trust credible media outlets, official sources. Never trust official sources! Never! You must
yes,
never
trust
official sources.
Yes, but you're yelling because
sources.
You're an official source. So what? What?
Yeah. Right, the definition
no, of I'm not. Source. But that's the point. Like, how do you know it's official source? You can't. But then, if you can't trust anybody, who can you trust? You have to trust yourself. You have to be confident enough in yourself to trust what you believe and what direction you want to go. Mm-hmm. That is the truth. That is the only truth. You don't have to believe in Beatles or in God or in Yoko, like John Lennon said. You just believe in me. That's what you
but
have to believe.
That's the problem, because your generation doesn't have that base. They don't have the belief in their own intelligence, their own critical thinking, and it's so much easier for them to just follow along.
Yes,
and that's
why,
what they're doing.
Yes, and why do you not have that critical
because
thinking?
Because their parents didn't give them a base.
Yes, but also because constant exposure to constant media messages and TV makes you unsure of yourself. It makes you think that anybody else is different and better, and these celebrities are having a better time, or Instagram has people in fantastic locations doing much better things than me.
Well, they are.
It's a constant.
That's a fact.
So you turn that off, too.
They can't.
You turn that off.
They can't because they're so insecure about their own self-worth.
But that's it. When you're young, you're always insecure. Everybody's insecure when you're young.
No, it's a generation. No, it isn't.
I was insecure when I was young.
I know,
young.
But you
wrong?
Also had. But you also had a strong base. Even if you disagree with your dad, he was a stable base from which you could bounce. Even if you didn't agree with them, or your mother too, they were a unit, and they're...
That's true.
But these kids today, your generation, their parents are... Their parents were insecure. Half of them shouldn't have kids. You know, they were told that, way to go, baby. You know, feminism told them they could have it all, and they couldn't, and they didn't. So what did they do? They farmed out their child rearing to people like me. And I was good because I told them no. But the majority of these people who raised you guys were insecure to begin with.
Oh, so you say yes, everything, yes.
Yes.
Yes, sweetie, yes, sweetie,
yes.
Anything
no,
you
no,
want.
No. The nannies did that. Yeah. Why? Because the parents only wanted, if you have a dog walker, you have a nanny, you have a chef, which is what I've done for the last couple of years, we want you to raise our kids. Why? Because we're too afraid to tell them no.
Well,
and this is your generation.
It's going to get, it gets worse and worse the younger you go, though.
Right, but I'm just saying that you're the 40s
starts,
and below,
yeah.
That's the coddling of the American mind.
Sure.
What do you mean it gets worse the younger you go?
The indoctrination and stuff what we talked about is more and more pervasive.
The younger you get.
Yeah, the younger. Well.
Right, because now your generation is having kids, and they're still insecure.
Right.
They're still on antidepressants. They're on anti-anxiety. Some of them aren't.
Yeah, I mean, I think it got really bad in 2013, personally.
What happened in 2013?
I mean, if we want to get really into it, in 2011, we had Occupy Wall Street, right?
Right, yes.
And so, this is just what I personally
think. Right after 9/11,
too. Right. So after Occupy Wall Street, I think a lot of the, you know, the institutions and the global power brokers were like, oh, we can't have the middle class and the poor classes uniting against us. We have to come up with some sort of curricular wedge to divide people. And all of a sudden, you had more of the LGBT stuff. In the news articles, you see all this anti-white propaganda, and it was to divide people on race, class, religion, and gender.
Race, and class, and culture.
Right. And class, I think, culture. And now I think it took a couple years for that to go into full swing, so that's why I think you start seeing it in 2013. But, like, it took a couple, like, a year or two after Occupy Wall Street to all of a sudden...
I believe that. But also the rise of social media.
For sure, it was around the same time.
2008 to 2013, none of this was around.
You're right.
So the insecurity is both created by people looking to cause multiple wedges to drive across, and it's also created by modern social media and the lack of parenting. Is that
exactly
what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so
I
this insecurity is conducive to not having a stable foundation of psyche, so that your own individual personality as a singular granular atom in this gigantic society does not know where bottom is. So it can't jump off it to find a cohesive form so that it can be resistant to this programming. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and also I think in 2011 is when I think 80% of Americans had a smartphone all of a sudden.
Yeah, the iGen generation, and everyone since then.
Although I adopted a smartphone very late. I didn't get one until 2016, 2017. But yeah, I know most people got one in 2011 though.
Right. You're different.
You're a trailblazer. Yeah. But also, there's a large percentage of parents who don't give their kids a phone. There's now a movement, free play or whatever, and it's like they don't want their kids to have anything other than a flip phone.
Yeah.
Why? Because the only thing you need to do on your flip phone is make phone calls and text.
Right.
No viewing.
Yep,
also,
yep.
I was a nanny. I have parents in wealthy enclaves in Winchester, Wellesley, who basically, I told them, because I have a background in early childhood education, I said, put the cell phone down in the kitchen at a charging station. That's where it stays.
Yes.
From the kid, the minute the kid gets in the house till they get up in the morning, and that's it.
Did they listen?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I insisted.
Oh, good.
Why? Because these parents are weak.
Right.
And they hired me to say no to their children and to them. And it worked out great.
Yeah, lucky for
And
that.
It's like, and they were good kids. It's like, I had one kid who was 13 who had just gotten, and he's a commuter whiz, really good, got a cell phone when he was 13.
Mm.
He the first year he had it, we couldn't figure out why he was always tired.
Right.
Why? Because it was in his room. What was he doing? Watching, not necessarily watching porn, but he was fascinated by the stuff that he was. So he wasn't getting any sleep.
Right.
So take the phone out of his room, and the mom's like, "Well, you know, he doesn't need that."
Right.
And she was resistant for a year, and I said, "His grades. He's an A student. He's now a C student. Why do you think that is? What changed in the year?" And there are a lot of parents and there are a lot of adults, but there are also a lot of parents who don't want to accept responsibility for their children anymore because it's too painful.
Yep.
They want the pretty kids. They want the compliant kids. They don't want to wipe their butts. They don't want to pick up the dog's crap. They don't want to cook dinner. They want it all there. They want a beautiful child, a clean dog, and a dinner on their table. And all they want is the good stuff. They don't like the nasty, dirty bits.
Right.
And I just watched a thing about Steve Jobs. I was telling you about that.
Oh, yeah, he didn't give his kids the phone, right?
Yes,
right,
a lot of Silicon Valley people do not give kids smartphones.
And Bill Gates
tablets.
Never shot his kids up with any vaccines either.
Oh, really?
It's all in the memory hole of anything that anyone said. You know, it's like you didn't get, but he gave a big endowment to their private school.
Right.
All right, well, let's see. We've got 8 minutes left here on the show. It's
lightning round.
Yeah, lightning round. Any last things you guys wanted to talk about?
I do believe that not to yelling at someone. I still suffer with this. Every time I drive down the street or I'm out in public and I see someone with a mask on, I want to go up and yell at them.
Yeah.
And that does not work.
Oh, it doesn't? What should I do then? Just let
I don't
it
know,
go?
But it's got to be because they need to be convinced on an emotional level. I was at the Star. I was at a grocery store today, and this kid who was maybe 20, and we had a conversation about Bugs Bunny.
You don't need a mask. I just say
right,
you don't
but he
need
had
a
mask,
mask
a on that was so dirty. And it was a cloth mask, and I'm looking at it, and all I'm looking at is how dirty the mask is, and it had a little tear on it. And we started about something innocuous. We talked about Bugs Bunny cartoons and classical music. And if I had been there long enough, and if he'd come back, I had a little thing with my... would have been, let's talk about what's on that face of yours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And why you as a 22-year-old need to feel the need to wear a mask.
Well, one of the greatest bits of resistance I saw during the height of the pandemic, I think it was somewhere in California, was just like 10 or 12 people. There was, like, I think a Trader Joe's that had a mask mandate, and 10 or 12 people just went right in.
Yep, flash mob.
Stormed in, grabbed what they wanted, and then they even left the money on, so they weren't even stealing the stuff. They were just like, here, if you not want to check me out here, I'm shopping without a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, first of all, the store owners were speechless. They were frozen. They didn't know what to do, but then eventually they worked up their courage, and they got these two big, burly guys to block the door and try to keep the people from exiting, which I'm pretty sure is illegal. I'm pretty sure that's unlawful detainment.
Well, considering California you can steal up to $950
it's a double standard, right? It's like, oh, well, you can only steal it when you're doing something we say so.
Or when you're brown or black.
Yeah,
and they don't.
Sure.
Yeah, because I'm sure these people weren't.
But civil disobedience, like that type of stuff. Yeah. I think
flash mob. Yeah.
Well, that's what I do now. Is I take down any sign I see that has to do with masks or vaccines or 6 feet away. Any sign I see. There was one on the front of a house in Somerville somewhere. There's like it must have been a multi-apartment building, but it was a regular house. But anyway, it was a very large sign I could see from biking, and I stopped my bike, turned around, went over, ripped that sign.
Wait a minute. This is on private property.
Nah. No, it wasn't.
See, once again, busting the Nazi thing, that's a private property. You can't do that. You cannot do stuff that because it just falls into the hands of private property being co-opted by someone who's not, you can't do that. Okay. That's like you coming into my house and taking a pee.
Oh, I see.
You can't, public property is different, but private property, you can't do that, even though you want to. And all even right. though you have the righteous indignation, you cannot do that.
Yes, that's the thing, is this emotional righteous indignation. That's a problem from whatever side you're coming from.
Right, so you need to figure out a way to be emotionally connected before you ask a question.
I see. Okay.
And I'm working on that. It's tough.
How do you do that? You just...
You have a conversation about Bugs Bunny, you look at the guy wearing his mask, and then you go, hey, next time I see you, let's talk about why you're wearing a mask. You're 22. Mm-hmm. Do you really think you need that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you have to make them laugh before you make them think.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. That's been I've been trying to do that. I'm usually in your face, and but that doesn't work. I realize that. It's like I walk down the street and I'm like, why are you fucking?
Right.
And it
right.
doesn't work. All it does is it's fight or flight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Oh, that's true. It just makes it more aggressive. What just happened?
The AC. You got to find common ground, I guess. Yeah. You know, and then use that.
Yeah, Bugs Bunny.
Exactly. So no, you're right.
We could have very easily had a conversation about kumquats, which I just love saying kumquats, because kumquats is a fun thing to say.
It's good juice, but you can't eat them; they're too hard.
That's correct.
So how am I going to continue to impress upon people the uselessness of of wearing masks?
Stop insulting them first off.
Yeah, you don't insult them.
Don't yell at them.
You just kind of be nice and then say,
kill them with kindness.
It's pointless. Why would you do that?
Kill them with kindness. That's the only thing that's saving us. Killing them with kindness.
Well, in spirit of kindness, I want to thank everyone who came today. I want to thank you, Mark, and you, BLAQ. Thank you very much for coming. This show is almost over. We've only got 3 minutes left, so I want to give both of you very, very good thanks.
Thanks. It's always fun.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. And I think some of those, more smaller scale topics can also be helpful. We don't always have to, think in the broad scale.
All right, great. Now, we've had this live in-studio show every Friday this August from 6 to 8 p.m. because it's just easier in a way. But I also wasn't doing anything on Fridays in August. So I want to thank you both for coming here.
So your
doing
social
it live.
Calendar is open on Friday nights. Is that what you're saying?
It was. Now starting in September, we may or may not still be here. But I want to continue to process this information and show it. So again, this show runs every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. for the rest of this this summer schedule. And this is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. And I wish everyone a wonderful week. And, by the way, what kind of information, where are our sources for information? Majid Nawaz, MAAJIDNAWAZ. He's on Twitter. And also Brett Weinstein's Dark Horse podcast, the Dark Horse podcast with his wife, Heather Hying. These are two very interesting places to find information. Also continue.
CDC.gov.
Absolutely not. Well,
you gotta go on. You have to get. You have to balance
sides.
It out. Dude.
Oh, the
you
red and the blue. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black and white. Red and blue.
Nothing wrong with getting both sides.
Right. You gotta be open minded to everything that's on one side and everything that's not on the other. Because then you're a victim of what you said about everything else. If you're only listening to one side, you're gonna be in the same boat that everybody else is. And
absolutely.
You have to be an open minded racist.
Wow. All right, we'll see you next week. Thank you for listening. Have an excellent week. Up next, excellent music. Stay tuned.
And you will undoubtedly hear it many more times as the days go by. Now, just in case you're hazy on exactly what it means, let me give you a rough idea. It means that the cost of your clothes and food has gone up to a point where the family budget has become somewhat strained. Well, that's one of those things. And you can't be expected to increase the family income. But there are some things you can do to help. For instance, take better care of your clothes. When you come home from school, change into old clothes before you go out to play. Take care of your health, because doctors and medicines are expensive. Eat well, but don't waste. Take your full share, but eat all you take. Try not to ask mother and dad to buy you things you don't actually need. Make the best and the most of what you've got. Try to be more than usually careful of your school equipment, such as paper, pencils, and so forth. Make them last and go as far as you possibly can. Remember that all members of a family must pull together at a time like this. So do your share.